Talking on all political subjects and taking on all callers, this is Matt Flynn Direct with your host, Matt Flynn.
Welcome to Matt Flynn Direct, coming to you on Civic Media. Our lines are open, 844-967-2789. No subject is off limits, and all points of view are welcome. Remember, you're not woke if you don't know history. You're not woke unless and until you know history. Going right to the front lines of history in the making. And there was a lot of it made this afternoon, just as we came on the air. The January 6th panel has recommended four criminal charges against Donald Trump. Two criminal charges against John Eastman. And then they say, and others. They also are recommending an ethics investigation and sanctions against four members of Congress. Kevin McCarthy, who is the minority leader, hopes to be speaker. Gymnasium Jim GYM Jordan. Scott Perry of Pennsylvania, one of the architects of the fake elector scheme. And Andy Biggs of Arizona. This is a momentous occasion in American history, and it happened right when you were alive right now. Maybe you were watching, maybe you were not watching. But here are the charges that they're recommending against Trump. One, obstruction of an official proceeding, and that's a no-brainer. He ginned up the crowd to go up there and stop the certification and the acceptance of the electoral votes. Two, conspiracy to defraud the federal government. Three, aiding and assistance and giving aid and comfort, and in fact, ginning up the insurrection. And number four, false statements to the federal government, the fake electors, the fake elector scheme. Is this binding on Merrick Garland? No, it's not binding on Merrick Garland, but it gives him plenty of political cover. The January 6th committee was bipartisan. Kevin McCarthy was invited to appoint equal numbers of members as the Democrats, 5 and 5. And if he'd accepted that and put normal Republicans on there, there probably would have been no subpoenas issued, and it would have been a much more difficult process. But very foolishly, he decided to nominate people who themselves were insurrectionists and election deniers. For instance, Gymnasium Jim GYM Jordan of Ohio, who met with Trump in the White House the week after Christmas, as one of the architects of the insurrection. So when you put an architect of the insurrection, whether it's Jordan or Perry, and you brazenly propose them as members of the committee to investigate themselves, Nancy Pelosi said no way. She accepted one or two of the people that he proposed, even though they had voted against certifying Joe Biden. But she accepted them, and then to pose for holy pictures and to flaunt whatever it was he thought he was flaunting, McCarthy said, I'm withdrawing it. I'm not going to appoint anyone. So she went ahead and appointed the committee herself, and then she appointed Liz Cheney, Republican congresswoman from Wyoming, and Adam Kinzinger, Republican congressman from Illinois, the Rockford area, and selected as the chief of staff, the former Republican congressman from Virginia. And remember something, Liz Cheney is still the representative from Wyoming until right after New Year's, and she was beaten in a primary. Trump and the Republicans came in to knock her off. And then Adam Kinzinger is still the representative for the Rockford area till just after January. He didn't run again. He was gerrymandered by the legislature in Illinois out of his seat. They also, as I say, recommended ethics sanctions against Kevin McCarthy, Jim Jordan, Andy Biggs, and Scott Perry, for simply violating a subpoena. They got subpoenas. If you or I got a subpoena from Congress, and we didn't show up, we'd be criminally prosecuted. Steve Bannon violated the subpoena and was criminally prosecuted. So why aren't they also referring McCarthy, Jordan, Biggs, and Perry for criminal prosecution? And I think, I mean, I hate to say it, professional courtesy. I mean, the fact of the matter is these guys are all in Congress. And McCarthy may be with his speaker. Jordan is going to be, apparently, the chairman of the Judiciary Committee, and Biggs and Perry will do their dark, dirty work. And so I think there's a reluctance on the part of members of Congress to refer one another for criminal prosecution. And it may be that Garland wouldn't go forward against them just for blowing off a subpoena, although I would. I would. They should be gone after. What does this do for Merrick Garland? It gives him tremendous political cover. He has another political cover, which is he appointed Jack Smith as a special counsel on Trump, especially on the theft of the classified documents in Mar-a-Lago, which were not at issue in any of these referrals. So he's doubly insulated. And quite frankly, I've got to think that this referral of criminal prosecution to the Attorney General is going to put a nail, final nail in the coffin of Trump running for president. I mean, I know he's running because he wants to avoid prosecution. I don't think that's going to be possible. I know he's running to raise money. I know he's not really running. He doesn't have a campaign manager. He's asked for an extension to even disclose his finances. He doesn't have a press individual. He doesn't have any of this. But I think it's very, very hard for him, even in Republican states, red states, to go in and go, I'm running for president. And they go, well, you know, you've been referred for four felonies to the Attorney General. And the Attorney General is investigating another felony or felonies, which is your theft of classified documents. There is going to be a tremendous push by the Republicans to come up with somebody. I mean, their bar is low. They have very low standards, but one standard might be that you're not facing criminal prosecution. That might be one standard they'd still adhere to. One of the things that surfaced from this that we should pay a little more attention to is when they refer Trump, as they are referring him, for lying to the U.S. government. False statements is simply lying to the government. Over the fake electors, they made a point of saying that he didn't act alone in a lot of these things. And they say things like, we are recommending Trump, John Eastman, and others, and they don't name them, and others, and they don't name them, and others. One of the things that had an and others was lying to the federal government and the fake electors. Anybody who is behind that fake elector scheme in Wisconsin, under the reasoning of the January 6th commission, could be referred for criminal prosecution. Now, the question is, are they going to refer every fake elector in the country? Because remember, it happened in a lot of those swing states. Are they going to pick out one or two? For instance, there's a former chairman of the Republican Party among the fake electors. Robin Voss set up the committee room for them to hold their election. Scott Fitzgerald, who is now in Congress, but at the time was a state senator, set up, was the one who apparently made the request to set up the conference room. They have a pretty wide net. You could say, too, that the Josh Call, the Attorney General in Wisconsin, could prosecute them as well. He's obviously waiting to see what Garland does and, if possible, is not going to be involved in it. But the fact of the matter is that I think it's very possible that they are going to go beyond just Trump and Eastman on the fake elector scheme. They certainly are going to go beyond them on insurrection. You remember on January 6th, the speech that Trump gave, ginning them up, saying, you're not going to have a country if you don't take it back. You had Giuliani, Don Trump Jr., Mo Brooks, urging them to go up there and commit violence. That is textbook incitement insurrection. What else? I mean, unless you throw them in a cab and drive it up there yourself, how could you be more helpful? How could you be more helpful? There were a couple of really poignant parts to the committee hearing today. One of them was Liz Cheney's opening, where she talked about her great-grandfather who fought in the Civil War, and she talked about one of the great patriots, Trumbull, the painting that he had of George Washington surrendering his commission when he left the Continental Army, and the peaceful transition of power. And it was eloquent. It was truly eloquent. And there was a clip of Ronald Reagan talking about the peaceful transfer of power. And that tradition in this country, her statement was, we take it for granted every 4 years. But we're the only country in the world, literally. Maybe some in Western Europe, and only recently. But certainly everywhere else in the world where you can take that for granted. You have to seize it every couple of years. And that's what differentiates us from them. And then you have Raskin at the end summarizing the evidence that led to the referral of criminal prosecution for Donald Trump. Now, where are we going to go from here? This is, in effect, a letter, really, to Garland. It doesn't have any legal enforceable weight, but it has plenty of legitimacy, plenty of cover for Garland. And he has Jack Smith, and they have their own grand jury at stake. And all I can say is he's not listening to any individual, but if he were, I would say this. Do it sooner rather than later. If you wait till next summer and then you get into the whole business of the polling and who's ahead and all that, it looks more and more political. Strike while the iron's hot. This is the time to strike. Indict him. Indict Donald Trump. The process then is he's brought into court. You can waive handcuffs and all that. And you can waive arrest, let him come up voluntarily. You can set personal recognizance bail. And then you can set a jury date. And that's it. Donald Trump, no man is above the law. No woman is above the law, not even if they are the president. Want a break? Lines are open, 844-967-2789. A lot more back after the break. Tell him that God's gonna cut you down. Tell him that God's gonna cut you down. Tell him that God's gonna cut you down. Welcome back to Matt Flynn Direct. Our lines are open, 844-967-2789. Going right to the lines. Gene of Eau Claire, my friend. Thanks for calling. What's in your mind today, Gene?
Well, I thought they did a pretty darn good job, Matt. I was watching the entire thing, but I couldn't keep up with my note-taking, so I ended up taking pictures of the television so I could keep all the points straight. They really did an outstanding job. And, you know, if the DOJ, and I think they're going to act on this, and I know they can't let us know what's happening, and they're probably doing a lot more than we even know. However, if they're not, and they're worried about politics, that totally totally disregards that particular department, you know, enforcing the rule of law. It shouldn't matter any politics whatsoever. It shouldn't come into play during elections. When a person breaks the law, they break the goddamn law. And when it's been such a crime against all of us, they need to prosecute every goddamn person that's been involved, to include the Wisconsin fake fraudulent electors. They need to prosecute the guy who signs on the room for them, who unlocked the door of the day to let them in, the people that were keeping them secret, anybody that knew about this, because this was done as a countrywide plot, because they couldn't have did it without our state and those other states communicating with one another, Ron Johnson with his hand in it. Every goddamn one of those people should be investigated and held accountable. They shouldn't be getting a free ride just because they're sitting in a political office and half the country don't even know what they did because they don't have the time or they don't get the information. So that's my two cents worth. It's probably worth a lot more, but thank you, Matt. This is, you know, they did a great job, and now the people who enforce the rule of law need to go after these people and hold them accountable because we can't. You know, they say, oh, the voters will hold them accountable. No, we do not. We're not lawyers. We're not criminal justice people. We can't hold them accountable, especially in a gerrymandered state. They committed crimes against us, and they need to do their job. Anyway, I didn't mean to go on and on, Matt. You have a good day.
No, eloquent as always, Jean. And let me build on that. A couple of things to point out. You just lived today through a day in American history, just like you did on January 6th back in 2021, that people will study in history books and write about, and it happened right while you were around. And what Jean said is absolutely true. And nobody takes pleasure out of criminal prosecutions. But the point of the matter is, if you don't criminally prosecute Donald Trump for what he did in ginning up the insurrection in particular, and the false elector scheme, and if you don't do something, five people died that day, 140 or some odd cops got seriously injured. They were beaten up. They were hit in the head with clubs. They were dragged down the stairs and their heads bounced off the stairs. A woman got trampled to death and a cop was about to be trampled to death. Donald Trump is violent. Let me tell you something. Yesterday, he attacked the DOJ, Department of Justice, and the FBI, and urged his supporters on Truth Social, his social media platform. They have to be dealt with. Take care of them. Take care of them. They have to be dealt with. He called the January 6th committee thugs and scoundrels. These are Republican and Democratic members of Congress who are elected by people. He calls them, it's a committee, it's the unskilled committee, unselect committee of political hacks. They say, take care of them. What does that mean? Let me tell you something. Remember when he said that the Second Amendment people, quote unquote, should take care of Hillary Clinton? That was an invitation to assassination. The Secret Service talked to him, and they figured they couldn't touch him because he was running for office. If you have politicians who inject violence into our politics, they have to be stopped. That's a criminal offense. If I said somebody should take care of Donald Trump and he's running for president, I get a visit from the Secret Service, and I'm not saying that. You can't do that. You can't incite violence. He's now inciting it against the FBI. The FBI wears big signs in their back that says FBI when there are crime scenes. He's asking for FBI agents who make a wage and have what maybe a wife and kids at home to be shot. That's what he's doing. Something's got to be done. How much can you continue this divisive, violent talk? And it's got to extend beyond Trump and John Eastman, his lawyer. In Wisconsin, as Gene pointed out, there were these 10 fake electors. There was the guy who reserved the conference room. If you drive the getaway car, somebody shoots the clerk in the 7-Eleven, you're liable for murder. If you reserve the conference room for the conspiracy meeting, you're liable. You're part of the conspiracy. It's an overt act. It's all you need. If you're the guy that urged it to be set up, if you're the guys that kept it quiet afterwards, if you have a relative and a friend who commits a crime and then you give him new clothes so he can disguise himself, you've committed a felony. If you let him stay at your house while he's being searched for by the police, you've committed a felony. Somebody's got to do something. They can be prosecuted at the state or federal level. Let's see what Merrick Garland does. But you can't just say, with all of this buildup, with all of these threats, even threats of physical violence against the FBI and the Department of Justice yesterday by Trump, saying that his supporters should take care of them. Take care of them. What do you think that means? That's mafia talk. Take care of them. What do you think that means? I know what that means. And to call the January 6th committee thugs and scoundrels, the unselect committee of political hacks. All right, you can think that's funny. That's First Amendment. Take care of them is not First Amendment, all right? It's not First Amendment. Fake electors in line to the government is not fake electors. And Michael Fanon almost being trampled to death till he said he had four daughters, that's not First Amendment. None of this is for violence is not First Amendment. Going to a break. The lines are open. 844-967-2789. A lot more back after the break. Welcome back to Matt Flynn Direct. Our lines are open, 844-967-2789. We'll go right to the lines. Wisco Paul, my friend. Thanks for calling. What's on your mind today? Wisco Paul.
Hey, good afternoon, Matt. I still haven't gotten over the fact we lost the third CD in the state, and we lost to Ron Johnson. So something has to either change in the Democratic Party or something. But, oh, and then we lost the Congress. Thank you, New York, and thanks, California. That should have never happened either, but it did. But I'm going to go right back to the spring election. For anything to change in this state and to get decent districts and maybe even do something with the insurrectionists, we have to get out and vote for the Supreme Court, Wisconsin Supreme Court election in the spring. First the primary, then the spring. And if the state doesn't do that, we're just screwed. I'm kind of on a downer today, Matt. Thanks for taking my call.
Thanks, Paul. Well, cheer up. Let me tell you something. I'm optimistic. I'm optimistic about our country. And I'm optimistic about our state. We're a great state, and it's the greatest country in the history of the world. And so this, too, will pass. This, too, will be corrected. You raised the issue of the race in the spring. I want to repeat that. We can't redo what happened in 2022 in November. I mean, we actually did pretty well nationwide, but in this state, we lost a state Senate seat. We lost a congressional seat, didn't take the Senate seat. And I have a lot of opinions about that, and you've heard some of them on the air. However, we have a chance. It's a silver bullet in a way. The most important election in this coming year is coming up. It's in the spring. State Supreme Court, we elect our justices. A lot of states do not. You don't elect a federal judge, but you elect Wisconsin judges because of the progressive tradition of fighting Bob La Follette. So what you do is, it's a 10-year term. And Judge Janet Protasiewicz, and I've mentioned her before, is an outstanding candidate. She's a very experienced prosecutor, the most experienced prosecutor in the race. More than 20 years experience as a prosecutor of homicide, sexual assault, some of the worst frauds in Milwaukee County, and also a judge over several terms with a superb reputation, very hardworking. She's running, fortunately. Her major opponent is this guy, Dan Kelly, and he ran before and was beaten, and now he's running again, and he's a Trumper. He was appointed by Walker initially, first time he tried it. And he's bad news, very, very bad news, election denier. He's for gerrymandering. He's for getting rid of drop boxes. He's against our democracy. Janet Protasiewicz has said, look, just somebody bring a lawsuit on fair maps and on gerrymandering, and we'll take care of that. She did not violate judicial ethics by saying how she would rule on any individual case. But she criticized the Dropbox decision, eliminating drop boxes. She said that was wrong. And she said, I'm for fair maps. And she said that. Let me be blunt, everybody. Do you want to get rid of gerrymandering? If we got rid of gerrymandering with fair maps, we would have 16 or 17 state Senate districts instead of 11. We would have a majority in the assembly instead of having Robin Voss getting 2/3 of the vote when he doesn't even get half the vote, 2/3 of the votes in the assembly and doesn't even get half the vote in the legislative races statewide. Quit talking. Everybody talks a lot. They call and they complain about gerrymandering. I'm telling you how to do something about it. Make sure that Dan Kelly or the other Republican in this thing do not win. Janet Protasiewicz, Protasiewicz. Judge Janet Protasiewicz will take care of it. If she gets in, be a 4-3 Democratic majority, we'd have fair maps before the year is out. We'd have drop boxes back. We would have our democracy back. And let me give you, well, we're going to more lines, and then I'm going to give you a horrible example of the commie rule that the Republicans in this state have imposed on us, not just nationally, and you will not believe what I'm about to disclose. But first, we're going to go to Dick of Madison. Dick, my friend, thanks for calling. What's your mind today, Dick?
Today's situation, I understand it's just a referral. It doesn't have much legal teeth, correct? It goes to the Justice Department.
But you're right. It's not binding. Go ahead, Dick.
Okay. So, but that said, I mean, I hate to be this way too, but with all their nonsense that they're getting ready to pull, saying, oh, we're going to have oversight on everything from the Afghanistan withdrawal to the Biden family, pandemic relief fraud, you know, on and on and on. If you're somebody like Jim Jordan, who, in my mind, you don't even show up when you're subpoenaed, you shouldn't even be able to be on any of these committees, yet he is. And why wouldn't we just say to him, whatever your findings are nothing but BS, too. You know?
No, you're
right.
Play
by your ball, Jim, because...
No. Dick, here's the deal. He should be criminally prosecuted for blowing off that subpoena. Bannon was criminally prosecuted for blowing off the subpoena and sentenced to jail. Why isn't Gymnasium GYM Jordan? Gordon, why isn't Kevin McCarthy? Because congressmen are reluctant to refer one another for criminal prosecution. That doesn't mean Garland can't prosecute him. And we will see. But no, you're absolutely right. And the second thing is the Republicans are going to put out a report, apparently. And they're going to lard it up to make it look like a long report. But basically what it is it's going to be the January 6th commission hearing was wrong. We should just concentrate on security. There should have been better security. Blame it on the Democrats. Wait a minute. There was a Republican president urging them to go up there and beat up cops. That's what we are concentrating on. You're absolutely right. That's what we're concentrating on. Excellent comments. Nick of Madison, my friend, you're next. What's in your mind today, Nick?
Hey, man. This is Nick. Nice to talk to you. I was just listening to you, and I got to say, you brought up a line. Maybe it was flipping or whatever, but I hear this every single election. This is the most important election of our lifetime. I hate hearing that from the left or the right, because when every election is important, most important of our lifetime, none of them are. It just dilutes it. And I mean, you were talking about a Supreme Court election.
I didn't say of our lifetime. I said of this coming year.
I'm sorry?
Yeah, I said it's the most important election of the coming year. But go ahead.
Okay, the most important election of the coming year, but it's the only one of the coming year.
A lot of other judicial elections and special aldermanic elections in the spring. But go ahead, Nick, go ahead.
Okay, I guess maybe I misheard it, Matt. I'm sorry, but when I hear the most important election, immediately after that, I don't care what you qualify it, my brain turns off. Tell me why I should vote for this person. Don't tell me. Don't hold me hostage. That's what
okay,
that brain
I'll tell
tells.
You why. Yeah, it's because of gerrymandering. Right now, the Democrats have 11 state Senate seats out of 33. The Republicans have 22. And the Republicans just lost one because Alberta Darling is stepping down, or she stepped down. And so what? But it's basically 22 to 11. If there were fair maps, it would be 17 to 16. That's why. That alone makes it the most important election of this coming year. That alone. Drop boxes. The Republicans said no drop boxes. Lots of other states, including Utah, Republican state have drop boxes. That is also alone a reason why it's the most important election. Third, our democracy. Nick, here's the thing. You're a conservative. You're a well-intentioned conservative, articulate. I enjoy having you call in. But it has got to bother you that our democracy is in shambles. It's in shambles when you have gerrymandering. It's in shambles when a president urges a mob to go up and beat up policemen. You have to agree with that. Another, there's a Republican I admire, Liz Cheney, and another one, Adam Kinzinger. And that's the example that I would give. The thing that I wanted to talk about before we get back to the lines, so don't hang up, everybody, is this. You want a horror story. A single anonymous Republican on the Joint Finance Committee just blocked, completely blocked, the purchase of land to preserve a forest, 70,000 acres, Pelican River Forest Project, under the Knowles Nelson Stewardship Fund. The Republicans have put in a procedure. This is not Democratic. This is commie. This is commie. That under the Knowles Nelson Stewardship Fund, the state has bought more than 650,000 acres, frequently with federal money, to preserve it for hunting, fishing, and hiking. They proposed buying another 70,000 acres for the Pelican River Forest Project. This involves the headwaters of the Wolf River. It involves tributaries to the Wisconsin River. And it was announced that an anonymous Republican member of the Joint Finance Committee blocked it. That statute that permits an anonymous member to block something like this is unconstitutional. If Janet Protasiewicz is on the court, this will be gotten rid of in a heartbeat. In a heartbeat. The money for the Pelican project is coming from the federal government, not the state government. And this would be in public trust in the state. More than 70,000 acres for hunting, fishing, and hiking. It is commie government to pass a statute which they rammed through in lame duck with Walker, who was beaten in the election, signing off on, that says they can, in secret, one anonymous Republican bar this kind of thing. If you put in a Freedom of Information Act request, and I hope the media do, it will be denied. They'll say he can be an anonymous commie guy. Don't know who it is. That's wrong. That's not democracy. What's democracy is this is proposed. If they want to oppose it, they should put in a bill to propose it where there's debate. And then there are fair maps with fairly elected people. And you decide whether you want to, what, permit the federal government to buy it when we pay far more money into the federal coffers than we ever get back? We don't have space stations. We don't have Navy bases. Are you kidding me? When I was stationed down in Little Creek, Virginia, there were five bases down there. And there should have been on the Chesapeake Bay, that area, because the topography and the geography down there supports it. We get nothing. They turn down trade money. Now they're turning down money to buy 70,000 acres for the Pelican River Forest Project that would preserve the headwaters of the Wolf River and tributaries to the Wisconsin River. Are you kidding me? An anonymous guy can do it? How do I know he wasn't bribed? Who are his donors? Why did he do it? Who wanted him to do it? What influential person wanted him to do it? Was there consideration involved? I don't know. You can't have anonymous legislators making law. That's commie business. It would be like Putin saying, well, we've looked at it, and there's an anonymous guy out in Siberia who says, we got to do this. Why don't you shoot him? While you're at it, why don't you shoot Putin? I've said that before, and we're going to talk about that a little bit later. What's going on here? This is Wisconsin. An anonymous guy, and you don't know his donors because he's anonymous. You don't know, does he have a, you know, does he want to develop this himself? Is he a real estate developer? This is commie government. So Nick and everybody else, if you're a conservative, be like Liz Cheney and Adam Kinzinger and stand up for our democracy. We're going to a break. Don't hang up. I see you on the line. I'll get right back to you after the break. 844-967-2789. Matt Flynn, director. Lines are open, 844-967-278. Now we're going to the lines. Bill of Shorewood, my friend. Thanks for calling. What's your mind today, Bill?
I would like to talk about inflation just for 30 seconds.
Yep.
the year-over-year figure that is in the news is 7.1 to 7.4%. This is very misleading, because the Federal Reserve policy began in March. If you take the last 5 months, that's July through November, the annualized rate of inflation is 2.5. If you take the preceding 5 months, February through June, that is before the Fed had a chance to do its work, it was 11.8. In other words, the Federal Reserve policy is working. We're coming in for a soft landing, and we're going to have a very good 2023. The last thing I want to mention is your book. Milwaukee Jihad is a terrific book. I'm really glad you've called our attention to it, and I recommend it to your listeners. Thank you, Matt.
Well, thank you very much, Bill. And let me address both of what you just said. Appreciate it very much. On the inflation part of it, what Bill has said is true. For the last 5 months, the average is under 3%. It's in the twos. And you want about 2% inflation. You don't want stagflation. You don't want negative inflation. For a while in Europe, for instance, I mean, Japan has had a long period of negative inflation. And it really hurt their economy for 30 years or something. In Germany and I think France, for a while, if you bought a government bond, say for $1,000, at the end of the bond period, you'd get $990 back. In other words, you had to pay them to keep your money safe. We don't want that kind of thing. 2% is just about right. And Bill points out that it's a little over 2. The other thing is, if you look at it, what's impactful to the average person? What's impactful to the average person, for instance, is gasoline. And gasoline now is under $3 a gallon. You know, at one point it was much higher. And so I think that inflation is coming down. I think that the Fed has done a good job. And I think that Biden has been careful to appoint and reappoint people who are sensible. And this had a lot of different causes, obviously. Obviously, supply chain, war in Ukraine. We have the lowest inflation of any developed country around the world, and it is being managed quite well. With regard to the book, yeah, thank you very much for that. For those of you who hadn't heard this before, I've written several novels. The most recent one is Milwaukee Jihad, J-I-H-A-D. Get it anywhere. Go on Amazon. Milwaukee Jihad, Matthew Flynn. And this is about a jihadist attack on our Capitol during the State of the Union speech. And there's a very brave CIA officer and a math genius who deciphers the ISIS code that lets the government oppose this thing. There's something in it, and there's a theme that I've talked about on the air, and I'm going to talk about it again right now, that will give you the legal basis and the kind of the background of how it could happen. Right now, for instance, in Russia, Russia's invading Ukraine, a TV host named Vladimir Soloyev went on the air went on the air. He's a Putin type of television announcer, and said that, quote, Russia's in a holy war against Ukraine. It says, holy war is underway. We're fighting for the right to live in our original state. And he says that either we win or the whole world will be reduced to ashes. This is Putin's guy. And then he goes on and says, look at Zelensky's face. Look at Biden's face. Biden has an absolutely deceitful, nasty, scary face. He isn't like Trump. Trump was good, and they threw him out. That is a sick country, and I have advocated, and here's where my novel comes in. I think it's time that Vladimir Putin be killed, and his own people aren't killing him, and I don't think it's alone him. I think this Yevgeny Prigozhin, who's the head of the Wagner Group, the sadists, the torturers, and Ramzan Kartikov. Ramzan Kartikov is a Islamist terrorist, and he's the head of the in Chechnya. He's the head guy, tortures people, murders them. What Putin has done is brought Chechenian Islamist terrorists to wage jihad against Ukraine. And one of their missions is to stand behind Russian troops and to shoot anybody who's a Russian soldier who tries to desert. Putin has launched jihad essentially against his own country. And of course, against Ukraine, and all these people go in and they rape Ukrainian women and torture them. You can't stand by and watch a genocide. Putin is launching hypersonic missiles. Hypersonic missiles, they go several times the speed of sound to destroy all Ukrainian buildings' infrastructure. And he can't give up because he'd be assassinated. And what I've advocated, and it's set out in Milwaukee Jihad, not with regard to Russia, but with regard to Islamic terrorists, is a special committee of Congress sets up permission for one CIA agent to use deadly force without prior judicial approval. And she takes care of business. You will like the ending of Milwaukee Jihad. It's a great stocking stuffer. Buy it as a present, stick in somebody's stocking, but you'll be interested in the thinking on it. Something like that has got to be done with Putin, got to be done with Yevgeny Prigozhin, and got to be done with Ramzan Kartikov. These people are torturers, murderers, and they are simply trying to win the, quote, war, which is a genocide, a sadistic genocide, trying to win the war by simply destroying every building in Ukraine, now with hypersonic missiles. Every sewer system, every water system, every grid. And there are 45 million people in Ukraine. 10% of them are now refugees out of the country. There are 145 million people in Russia. They occupy 11 time zones. You know how many time zones there are between here, Milwaukee, and Athens, Greece? 8 time zones. They occupy 11 time zones of gas and oil, and they are a savage, savage people. They are sticking up for this. They claim, oh, I wish this weren't happening. They are butchering a neighboring country. We have an obligation to stop a genocide. A sadistic genocide. And if you read Milwaukee Jihad, you'll see how that can be done, in that case, applied to Islamic terrorists. Well, we're coming to the end of the show. Great show. Great callers, as always. Couldn't get everybody in. Thank you for calling. Matt Flynn, direct. We'll be back same time, same place tomorrow. I'm signing off for today.